Community Church. I thank you for the team spirit that we have here, Lord, and together everyone accomplishing ministry here. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we want to look at our responsibility as a team player today. May we glean something from your word that we can apply to our life. May you be honored and glorified with your word today. May your word go forward and may it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. Father, may it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce. May it challenge us where we need to be challenged, Lord, to live a more godly life for you, the Lord, to be a part of an amazing team that you have in store for us here. We pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up, cast him as workers in opposition out of here, the Lord, and let the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move in our hearts and our lives today. Father, open our eyes, open our minds, open our ears, open our hearts, the Lord, to receive your word. Father, may we be changed individuals today. May we not be the same as what we walked in here as. May we be renewed, revived, and alive, the Lord, alive and well, to carry out your ministry and your will and way that you have in store for us to do. May your word go forward, highest behind the cross of Calvary. Fill us with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless us to say and preach and do what you would have us to do of you and of your spirit, the Lord, not of me, Father, but all of you. We welcome you here in this place. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The church, I thought about this. The church is not a place for people to gather occasionally for religious services. It's not one more social institution among many others. The church is God's dream for his most cherished creation, and that's you and me. The church is God's dream for his most cherished creation, and that's you and me, folks. The church is compared to as a body, which we're going to see. We are exist in unity. Much of the early church lived in a community. When you go back and you study the word, we are told to have one mind. In our day, there is a clamor out for churches today to rediscover the identity as a community. They realize that how often churches become lost in a jungle of growth of unbiblical traditions, and that choke the life out of their churches and stifle their ministries. It's not about tradition, it's about the word of God. It's about what God tells us to do. So many churches across the world today, in the country you're here today, said, well, we've never done it that way. I thank God that I'm in a church that don't say we've never done it that way before. We're going to do it God's way, amen, and see what God has in store for us. It's exciting to be a part of that. True fellowship has the power to revolutionize lives, transform lives, my friends, when we get excited about what God is doing. The mask comes off. Conversations get deep. Hearts get vulnerable. Lives are shared. Accountability is invited. And tenderness flows. And people really do become like brothers and sisters in Christ. And they shoulder one another's burdens. And they become the team that God desires them to be. They become the team that God desires us to be. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 13 says this. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, that you walk worthy of your calling, wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he is ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Here comes part of the team. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For the what? Perfecting of the saints. For what? The work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of statutes of the fullness of Christ. When I read that verse and I read those verses in Ephesians chapter 4, I think about team. I think what God has put together here, an amazing team that is adding ministers to our team all the time. And I thank God for those that step up to the plate that are wanting to be leaders and teachers and things of that nature. It takes all those stepping in to make make an amazing team that God has here at Crossroad Community Church. Together, everyone accomplishes ministry. Together, everyone accomplishes more. It's that team aspect and that team spirit that we have here that this church stands out among all other churches because of its friendliness, because of its love, because we come together and work as an amazing team. And I remind you of that constantly because it is important to me that you know that this is an amazing team that God has put together. This is an amazing church that God has brought and formed and fashioned us together. As I said, we are the church. God's dream is most cherished individuals are you and me. We're His prized possessions. We're His cherished creation. It's you and me. And we have to work together as a team so that we can go out and win more of His cherished creation. So we can go out and win more of the lost people. And think outside the box and do things to create an atmosphere of excitement. To create energy and an atmosphere of excitement. And to be excited about ministry and what God has us to do. So that we can be filled up that when we leave here, we go out and share with others. We go out and share with others and invite others to come be a part of what God is doing here. If you're taking notes, my responsibility as a team player, as I said, when I look back over these verses, there's a few verses that stand out in chapter 4. It says, walk worthy in verse 1 of your vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of your vocation. What God has called you to do. Walk worthy of that. Be the team player that God has desired for you to be. Whatever category it is that you're serving in, do it to the best of your ability. Why? Because God gave the best for you and me, and He deserves our best back. Let's do it for His honor and glory. When I thought about that, and I thought about the team, I thought about what it said in verse 2, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring in verse 3 to keep that unity of the Spirit, because there's one body and one Spirit. There's one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father above all and through all in you all. And I thought about those things, and I thought about the team of what He adds to us in verse 11. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what a team comes together. A team that God puts together, preachers and teachers and leaders and things of that nature coming together to honor and edify the body of Christ, which is the bride of Christ, the Lord Jesus. Everything we should do is to bring about Him honor and glory. Everything we should do should represent Christ in our life. Everything we should do in life, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everything we should do is to bring Him honor and glory. Not for us to be elevated. Not for us to be on a pedestal or nothing else. Paul said, I must decrease and He must increase. If we're going to be a part of the team, that's what it takes. Again, my responsibility as a team player, if you're taking notes, number one, I will protect the unity of my church. Say, I will protect the unity of my church. Number one, as a team player, your job and my job is to protect the unity of the church. To protect the unity of the church. You say, how do you do that? By acting in love towards other members. 1 Peter 1:22 says this. In 1 Peter 1:22, it says this. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. My responsibility as a team player is I will protect the unity of my church. How? By acting in love towards one another and other members. That's a way that we can protect the unity of the church. That we should pour out our love for one another. Build up one another. Edify one another. Let one another know how much you appreciate them. How much you thank them. I thank God for every one of you that's on the team here. I thank God for every one of you that's on membership of Crossroad Community Church. The church would be incomplete without you. And whenever its members are missing, the body is incomplete without every member being here that's a part of the bride of Christ. You're loved, you're appreciated, and you're an amazing part of the team here. And to keep the unity of the church, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards other members. Not only that, by building intentional relationships. In Hebrews 10:24, it says this. It said, and let us consider one another. He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And I thought about that. Being intentional in your relationships. How will I protect the unity of my church? Not only by acting in love towards other members, but by building intentional relationships, such as Sunday schools, a small group, a place of loyalty, compassion, commitment, caring, a prayer of mutual sacrifice. It's a supportive little platoon in which people share their lives with each other. They seek counsel and encouragement. They hold each other accountable. They grow together spiritually. They give and receive love of another kind. And I thought about that, small groups. I thought about women on mission. And I thought about Sunday school. And I thought about the men's prayer breakfast. And the youth and Awanas and children's church. And things of that nature that are formed in a small group. Why? So we can be intentional in building relationships. Be intentional in building relationships. Building a stronger team. When you build those things and small groups that are stronger, foundational groups, the church automatically becomes a stronger team. It becomes a stronger team when you do that. I encourage you, if you're not involved in Sunday school, get plugged in. You don't know what you're missing. The small groups are amazing here. The teachers prepare week in and week out just for you to come and be a part of what God is doing. It is a strong commitment that they have to carry out God's word. Not only that, we have breakfast every Sunday morning, if that'll help you get here. We have breakfast every Sunday morning. Brother Rick cooks for us all. So be here. And Brother John, he sits there and he cooks. And one of them don't do grits, but the other one does all right. But they have a thing that they come and they cook and have food here in fellowship. It's a time of a small group gathering to get together, to love on one another, to fellowship on one another before we go to Sunday school. And that's at 9 o'clock. You come and be a part of it. And so we see, number one, my responsibility as a team player is how we will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, by being intentional in building relationships, and also by refusing the gospel. In Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 says this, says, let no communication proceed out of what? It didn't say, Brother John, let no communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't let no corrupt communication to proceed out of Rick's mouth. Don't let no corrupt communication proceed out of Mark's mouth. Don't let none proceed out of Danny's mouth. It says, whose mouth? Our mouths. Your mouths. Our mouths. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good in the use of edifying. The good in the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Minister grace unto the hearers. I said it over the past few times. And you know, and I say it today, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say it at all. God wants us to build one another up, encourage one another, lift one another up. And that's what he calls us to do. He says for you and me to do that. And if we can't, we need to understand that if what we're saying cannot minister grace unto the hearer, then we don't need to say it. Because more than likely it's going to tear them down. It's going to discourage them. It's going to upset them. Feelings are going to get hurt. People are going to leave and be upset. And God has blessed this church too much and put an amazing team together for that to happen. And I'm not going to allow it to happen. And neither are you as church members. Amen. 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 So we got to protect our church. Protect the unity of our church by refusing to gossip. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. When we start gossiping and doing that, who do we grieve? The Holy Spirit of God. It said that we not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't let it grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from who? Be put away from us. Be put away from you. Be put away from me. Let it all cease with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Not only that, I will protect the unity of my church by following the leaders. Hebrews 13:7 says this, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, For they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Watch over the care of our flock, the care of individuals, the care of one another, loving one another, building one another up. As a team, I could tell you, one of the professional football players that stick out to me the most of all, come up here, you grab her in a circle. Get about five of you up here. One of these, come on, quit getting scared. Get over here. I ain't going to knock y'all down today. One of the ones on the football team, that is amazing. Five of you, come on, can't y'all talk? What school, what grade y'all in? Here, I got a broke neck one coming up here. Y'all, come on. Up, Julie, Lena, get up. Amen. Come on, gather in a circle. Circle, hold hands. Gather in a circle, hold hands. Circle. Y'all know what a circle is? Good gracious, I have to teach everything in school. There's one football player that when you watch NFL football and you watch it week in, week out, there's one guy, his name is number 52, Ray Lewis, on the Ravens. What does he do? He grabs his defense, hug like this. Hug. He grabs his defense. There you go. You got it. One, two, three. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Go in a circle. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ravens, go. One, two, three. Ravens. Woo! He gathers together. What does he do? By the time Ray Lewis is through with that defensive football team, they could run through the wall of this church. Why? Because he builds them up. He excites them. He gets them ready. He empowers them to be a part of the team. That's what we do for one another. That's what we should do as a church. Band arm to arm together. Link arm and arm together. Build a team. Get excited and get energized about what the Lord wants to do here. Because it takes every one of us as a part of a team to accomplish God's ministry at Crossroad Community Church. It's banding together, coming together, following the leaders. And I can tell you right now, them folks follow Ray Lewis. They get on that team. They support him. That defense is a terror, man, when he comes out there. That's what it's about. It's about us getting together as a team, rallying around to get God's work done. My responsibility as a team player, I will protect the unity of my church. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church. I will share the responsibility of my church. How? By praying for its ministries. I tell you all the time, the important part of the ministry and the team is prayer. Prayer is changes things. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes the dynamics of the ministry at Crossroad. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its ministries. 1 Thessalonians 1:1-3 says this, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from the God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks. That's praying. We give thanks also for you all, making mention of you in our what? In our prayers. Making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus, in the sight of God and the Father. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its ministries, by praying for its leaders, by praying for one another. That's how we become a strong team, and sharing the responsibility of our churches, my friends. Sharing the responsibility of that through prayer. Prayer changes things. Not only that, not only is my responsibility as a team is to protect the unity of my church, but my responsibility is to share. I share the responsibility of my church through prayer for its ministries. Not only that, by welcoming those who visit us. In Romans 15:5-7, it says this. It says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be what? Like-minded, one towards another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with what? One mind and one mouth do what? Glorify God, even as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Making people feel welcome. That's one of the things I praise God about this church. My friends, if a visitor come in here and didn't get their hands shaking, their neck hugged, they must have been hid in a corner or under a seat somewhere where we couldn't find them. But it's about making people feel loved. It's about welcoming them, shaking their hand, hugging their neck, let them know that we appreciate them coming here. Thank you for visiting with us, making people feel welcome, making people feel a part about what God is doing in this amazing ministry. That's a part of sharing the responsibilities of my church, is by making people feel welcome. Not only that, by inviting the unchurched to attend. In Luke 14, and verse 16 through 23 says this. Said, then said unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all went, they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And as another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. I want to find these individuals that bought a piece of property and never seen it. I want to find these individuals that bought some oxen and never proved them before they bought them. They ain't very smart nowadays, amen? It says, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. By how we share the responsibility of our church, by inviting the unchurched to attend. By inviting the unchurched to attend, I'll tell you about Monday night visitation. It's amazing. You need to come out. If you get the time with Brother Rick and myself and Brother Leroy and things of that nature, and come out and be a part of that. It's rewarding to go to a house and visit somebody and letting them know that, hey, thank you for coming to Crossroad Community Church. Thank you for being here. By sending them a letter, by giving them a phone call, it lets them know you appreciate them. You thank them for taking their time out of their busy schedule to come be a part of what God is doing at Crossroad. And then sharing with others. When you go to eat in the gas station, the grocery store, wherever you're at, invite somebody to come to Crossroad. Share with them what God is doing. That excitement, and people come. They want to make sure they felt welcome. And so I share the responsibility of my church by praying for its ministry, by welcoming those who visit, and by inviting the unchurched to attend. Not only that, but number 3, my responsibility as a team player, I will serve the ministries of my church. I will serve the ministries of my church. How? By discovering my gifts and talents. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Share your gifts God has gifted you with. God has gifted each and every one of us and give us a talent and a gift. We need to figure out what it is and exercise that and use it for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Exercise and use it for God's honor, for His glory. He said again, as many hath received the gift, He said, even so, sit on it. Pull that verse back up, 9 in 1 Peter 4:10. What did he say? As many as received a gift, forget about it. As many as received a gift, sit on it. As many as received a gift, do nothing about it. Even so what? Minister, amen. Minister to one another as good stewards, as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. To be a good steward, we need to minister the gifts and the talents that God has given us. Minister back to those that are in the house of God. Minister back. Be a good steward of that, of what God has given us. Not only that, I will serve the ministry of my church by being equipped to serve. In Ephesians 4:11-12, he said this. Again, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the what? The work of the ministry, and for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. Not only that, but I will serve the ministry of my church by developing a servant's heart. In Philippians 2:3-7, it says this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than itself. Look not every man in his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, but was made in the likeness of man. I will serve the ministry of my church by developing a servant's heart. Man, we have got activities from here to the rest of the year that is bogged up and bogged down. This is one of our busiest times of the year, from October to December. One of the busiest times, one of the times we need to dig a little bit deeper in your pocket and give a little bit more, because we got ministry to do. We got a whole table over here that we need you to sign up on for the fall festival and the Crosshair Outfitters and the Sportsman's Banquet and the bow shooting contest. We got Women on Mission that need some boxes wrapped and some ladies to come together. We got the family Crossroad Family Church Thanksgiving that Miss Sharon needs some help with. We got tons of things. We got Angel Tree. We got the needy that we're feeding with Thanksgiving baskets. We got the leadership appreciation luncheon and dinner. We got stuff going on. Angel Tree for those parents that are incarcerated or kids that won't have Christmas without you and me. We got a lot going on. We spend a ton of money from October, November, and December. It takes a lot of money to make these ministries happen and to pull it off. We need to support it and get behind it and develop a servant's heart and sign up on the table, sign up on the back sheet. We need helpers in Awana's. Where are my Awana leaders? Amen. We need, that was pitiful from Tom. Where's my Awana leaders? Tom's a good idea. Amen. We need help in Awana's. Where's my Sunday school director? We need help over here. Where's children's church at? Miss Tony in the back. We need help back there. Where's my youth leader at? We need help right there. Boy, y'all slow today. Amen. We need some help. We need some workers. Where's my WOM leader at? Women on Mission. We need some help in these areas. I promise you, from October to December, if you don't help, they'll all be dead, and I'll be preaching their funeral come January. We need some help. Amen. Servant's heart. Develop that heart. Step up to the plate. Tell them you'll be here. You'll support them. You will help them to pull off the ministries that we need to pull off for the rest of the year. Developing a servant's heart. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts, by being equipped to serve, by developing a servant's heart. Number four, last one, my responsibility as a team player. I will support the testimony of my church. I will support the testimony of my church. Do you know, when you and I leave here, we're representatives of Christ, but not only that, but Crossroad Community Church. We represent what Christ is doing through us. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." If there's ever been a time, folks, that we need to be faithful in supporting our church more than ever, it's today. It's today. People want to know that we're real. People want to see that we're real, folks, and know that something's different about us. I would support the testimony of my church by giving regularly. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." God is the one that gives us everything. God is the one that profits us. God is the one that prospered you and me and gives us our job, our health, and things of that nature to make ends meet. It's God that has prospered us. And my friends, we should give back out of that abundance and joy of the heart. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the help that I need to work. Thank you, Lord, that I got a job. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In this economy, there's a place to work. Thank you, Lord, for understanding that it is you that prospers me, Lord. It is you that provides a job for me to work in. It's you, Lord, that gives me the help to be able to go and to do. And we take that things for granted sometimes. We need to stop sometimes and thank God for our families that he's given us. Thank God for our husbands and wives and our children that he gives us. Thank God for an amazing church he gives us to worship at. Thank God for our help that we can go and do and provide for our families. Thank the Lord for our work. So many times we take things for granted. We should stop and thank God for the roof over our head, the clothes on our back, the shoes on our feet, and the food on our table, because there's a lot of people in America that don't have that. And we need to be thankful for what the Lord has done for us. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by giving regularly. It tells us in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10, we're to bring that tithe into the storehouse. Why? So we can carry out the work of the ministry that God has intended in store for you and me to carry out. Oh, listen to me. I will support the testimony of my church by living a godly life. By living a godly life. I will support the testimony of my church by living a godly life. He tells us in Philippians 1:27, he says this, and let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in what? One spirit with what? One mind, striving to what? Together for the faith of the gospel. My responsibility as a team player, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love toward other members, by building intentional relationships, by refusing the gospel, by following the leader. I will, my responsibility as a team player, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its ministries, by welcoming those who visit, by inviting the unchurched to attend. My responsibility as a team player, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by equipping those to serve, by developing a servant's heart. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by giving regularly, and by living a godly life. Fundamentally, we are supposed to be Christ's bond servants who will do whatever we can to advance the kingdom of God, who will invest our resources and time in this church, who will get under the heavy end of a log and help lift it, not to point out self-abuse of unhealthiness, but as humble and committed servants of Christ. When there is Christians who are deploying their spiritual gifts and who are sacrificing out of a servant's mindset, my friends, this place becomes a powerful army for the Lord. When we do those things, Hebrews 3, 12 through 13 says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Jameson, you guys can come. Folks, my responsibility as a team player. We have a lot of responsibilities. And my friend, together, everyone accomplishes more. Together, everyone accomplishes ministry. We all have a job to do here as a part of the team. We need to band together and come and be that part. Protect the unity of the church. We need to make a decision. We're going to protect the unity of the church. Protect it and keep it unified in Christ. That, my friends, that we will share the responsibility of the church. The only way a team succeeds is they share the responsibility with each and every one of us. And then, not only that, as I said, I will serve the ministry of the church and I will support the testimony of the church. My friends, the main thing is your testimony. When you lose your testimony, you can forget anybody having anything to do with you. When you lose your testimony, you can forget for people confiding in you or wanting to talk with you. My friend, your testimony is important. The testimony of God's house is important. The testimony of the church of God is important. And it takes that testimony for us to work together as a team. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. We would love to be your church family. I would love to be a pastor. Maybe you're here and you've never made a commitment to be on Team Jesus by asking Jesus to come in your heart to be in your Lord and Savior. That's first and foremost. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon him today? Oh, listen to me. God's speaking to you. What's he telling you? To stand up and become a part of the team that God is doing here? Oh, whatever it is, maybe you need to come to the altar and pray about something. It's open. It's available to you. Be obedient to the call of God upon your life today. Will you stand as we sing, You Come?